All right, can you hear me good? All right. Scripture for today comes from Samuel 18, 1 Samuel 18. You know, I've been reading on Samuel, and it's pretty interesting. I started at the beginning, and it's just interesting because I wanted to know where Samuel came from, you know. Some reason I thought Samuel was already going to be a king, but, you know, anyway, it's interesting. All right, here we go. 1 Samuel 18. As soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul sent him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. As they were coming home when David returned from striking down the Philistine, the woman came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tambourines, with songs of joy, with musical instruments, and the women sang to one another as they celebrated. Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very angry at this, saying, displeasing him. He said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed thousands. And what more can he have but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day on. The next day, a harmful spirit from God rushed upon Saul, and he raved within his house. While David was playing the lyre as he did day by day, Saul had his spear in his hand, and Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, I will pin David to the wall. But David evaded him twice. Saul was afraid of David because of the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. So Saul removed him from his presence and made him a commander of 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David had success in all his undertakings, for the Lord was with him. And when Saul saw that he had a great success, he stood in fearful awe of him. But all of Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before them. Then Saul said to David, here is my elder daughter, Merab. I will give her to you for a wife. Only be a valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul thought, let not my hand be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him. And David said to Saul, who am I and who are my relatives? My father's clan is in Israel, that I shall be son-in-law to the king. But at that time, when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, she was given to Adriel, the Melathite, for a wife. Now Saul's daughter Michal loved David, and they told Saul. The thing pleased him. Saul thought, let me give her to him, that she may be a snare for him, and that the hands of the Philistines may be against him. Therefore Saul said to David a second time, you shall now be my son-in-law. And Saul commanded his servants, speak to David in private and say, behold, the king has delight in you, and all his servants love you. Now then, become the king's son-in-law. And Saul's servants spoke these words in the ears of David. And David said, does it seem to you a little thing to become the king's son-in-law, since I am a poor man and have no reputation? And the servants of Saul told him, thus and so did David speak. Then Saul said, thus shall you say to David, the king desires no prize except 100 foreskins of the Philistines, that he may be avenged of the king's enemies. Now Saul thought to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. When his servants told David these words, it pleased David. Well, to be the king's son-in-law, before the time had expired, David arose and went along with his men and killed 200 of the Philistines. And David brought their foreskins, which were given in full number to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him his daughter, Michal, for a wife. But when Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David, and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, Saul was even more afraid of David. So Saul was David's enemy continually. Then the commanders of the Philistines came out to battle. And as often as they came out, David had more success than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was highly esteemed.
Well, it's a good morning, like always, to spend some time in God's Word. We're continuing this sermon series, Rise, looking at King David's rise to becoming king and one of the most important figures in Scripture, not only for what he does in the Old Testament, but also for how he points to Christ. And this week, we're following the biggest David story. Last week was David and Goliath. And this week, we're kind of looking at, so what happens now? I mean, we all know the David and Goliath story, but what about the rest of David's life? What about the normal seasons in his life? How is God with him in the highs and lows of that? That's what we're going to be looking at this morning. But as always, let's spend a moment and ask God to bless our time in the Word. Father God, we thank you for your Word. It is so good. It is so true, and it leads us so well. We just ask that as we study this passage this morning, that you would show us how you meet us in the ups and downs of normal life. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it was a stunning spring day in the Harz Mountains of Germany. The sky was bright blue with cotton swab clouds. The grass was piercingly green with speckled flowers all across the valley. And Ben and Annie were enjoying their honeymoon overseas. It was what you would say is as good as it gets for this couple. They had just been married. They had been engaged for a while before this and now could enjoy their marriage in this beautiful place, in this beautiful aspect of creation. It was as good as it gets. And that was until the wind started to pick up in this mountain valley. And as the wind began to pick up, Ben took off his jacket and put it around Annie. As soon as he had done that, rain started to drop quicker and quicker. The sky quickly grew dark. As they struggled down the mountain, Ben realized that they weren't going to get to safety before the storm hit them. And so he did the only thing he could, which was to grab his new wife and huddle in the middle of this field. No sooner had they huddled on the ground than a lightning bolt struck right next to them. Ben, when he came to his senses, was amazed that he was perfectly fine, but then when he turned around, his worst nightmares had come true. His wife had been hit by the lightning bolt. Now, thankfully, he was able to keep her alive and to go and get a doctor, and Annie survived the ordeal, but she would never walk again. She would be paralyzed for life. It was about as bad as it could get. And as you hear this true and terrible story, it's awful how quickly a good situation turns bad. But I think while most of us haven't experienced a dramatic story like that, we all know what it's like in the midst of life to have a lot of good going and at the same time to have a lot of bad existing, a lot of struggles, a lot of challenges. I think if you look at life, most of the time life is complicated. Most of the time there's good and bad at the same time in the midst of life. There's a song that puts it well, and it talks about the human experience, and it says, if you travel here, if you live, you will feel it all, the brightest and the darkest. And I think as people, we feel both of those often at the same time. I think of the man who is blessed by an incredible family, but what people don't know is in the dark recesses of his heart, there's an old addiction that gnaws at him. I think of a woman who maybe lands her dream job, her dream career, but that's soured by the fact that she has to raise her kids alone as a single parent, and it's hard. I think of the teenager who does great in school and everybody's saying, you're a great student, you're a great athlete, you're doing wonderful, but has to go home to a family life that nobody else knows about. I think about grandparents who have one grandchild who's pursuing the Lord, and it makes them so happy and pleased, and yet another grandchild that they love is walking away from the Lord, and they're wrestling with these two situations. Life is complicated, whether you're a Christian or not. For all people, life is complicated. But what Christians have that nobody else has is what Scripture gives us as consolation for that. And the consolation we have in this story and throughout the entire Bible is that the Lord promises to be with us in all of that, in the midst of all of those things. Remember, as we study the David story, we're not imagining ourselves as David. That's not how we read the story. We're not the hero in the story. We're the people of God in the story, and we're seeing this hero that God's provided. And as the people of God would have heard this story today, they would see that whether things were going well for David or bad, God was with him in all situations. It says that three times in 12 and 14 and 28. It says that God, the Lord, was with David. And so the people of God, as they saw that, would think, well, if God is with the man that he has provided to represent us, then won't God also be with us as well? In fact, that's the hope of Christians, that if God was with Jesus, our representative, then when Jesus tells us in Matthew 28 that he will be with us always, that is true, that we can trust that we can hold on to that is secure. So this morning, what we're going to be looking at is this, is that as a Christian, as a person who goes through life and there's ups and downs, what does it mean that God's with you in all of that? I mean, we can all say that. We can all say the Bible says it. But what does that mean? And how do you live out life in light of that if that's true? And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. So what we're going to start with is we're going to start with the good. Every person, if they look at their life long enough and if they study it true enough, they can find good at any moment in their lives. They can find something that's good, something